regular people are making $1,000 a day from home, here's how they're doing it. What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. Because relying on one source of income is a fragile way to live. And I think the events of the last couple months have exposed how fragile our entire system is. But to the extent that you can control your own destiny and your own income, I think it makes sense to do that. Today, I want to introduce you to a former assistant principal at an elementary school who turned her side hustle into a full-time income and then some. Terry Igioma is a stock trader, which is something I always equated to being maybe one step up from gambling. In this call, Terry does a good job of convincing me that there really is an art and a science to it, that it is a winnable game, and you can play at a risk level you're comfortable with. This is an eye-opening one for me. Stick around to hear Terry's trading criteria, her advice for new traders, and why small players like us may have an advantage over billion-dollar hedge funds and Wall Street quants. Over at itradeandtravel.com, Terry's on a $1 million a day mission. That is to help 1,000 people start making $1,000 a day. And if this episode resonates with you, maybe you'll be one of them. Notes and links from this call are at sidehustlenation.com/Terry. It's T-E-R-I, along with the full text summary of our conversation. And while Terry's results are impressive, to say the least, it's not like she was born knowing how to do this stuff. One cool resource to help you level up the skills you need in your business or professional career is our sponsor, Skillshare.com. Skillshare is home to more than 25,000 on-demand classes in marketing, business, SEO, essentially any skill you need to advance your career or side hustle, you're going to find it on Skillshare. And here's the deal. Side Hustle Show listeners can test out this awesome online learning community for creators for 2 months on the house. Check it out, skillshare.com/sidehustleshow to get started for free. That's skillshare.com/sidehustleshow to start your 2-month free trial today. Optimizing your website ads can be tough. There are so many variables to test, like ad placement, size, type, which networks you're running. Let me simplify it for you. Use Ezoic. That's what my friends who run ads on their websites swear by. With Ezoic's flagship ad tester tool, you can take advantage of machine learning to continually optimize ad experiences. In fact, Ezoic has increased its customers' total ad earnings by an average of 50%. Visit ezoic.com/sidehustleshow today to start using Ad Tester for free. That's Ezoic, ezoic.com/sidehustleshow. I'll be back with my top takeaways from this call with Terry after the interview. Ready? Let's do it.
There's definitely a place for buy and hold investing. We all hear Warren Buffett talk about it. Just put your money in and just let it grow over time. But the thing is, that's great when you have a goal of using the money in retirement. But what if you need the money right now? And that's what happened to me. So I was in education. I was an assistant principal of an elementary school, and I needed an exit strategy. Like, it just wasn't fulfilling anymore. I was stressed all the time, overeating, just going crazy. And I figured out, okay, if I could just make $300 a day, I can replace my income. And I had traded back in college. I interned on Wall Street at Morgan Stanley and had learned about investing then. And I had kind of done it as a side hustle while I was in education to supplement my income. So I knew that it could work. I knew that I could make money from it. But now I was like, you know what? I just needed to replace my income. And that's why I became an active investor. Because yes, the same way that you can get into a great company and hold it over time, you can get into a company that's great and trade in and out of it. And you're still in that same position, but you're just trading in and out of your position to make daily and weekly income for your bills, for traveling. That's what I use mine for. I went and traveled around the world and used stocks to pay for it. You can pay off debt, like all those things you can actually do with stocks, but people just don't know about it.
Right. Well, if you know what you're doing, because it's easy to get burned as well.
Yes. And that's why it's really important to have a risk management plan. I think one of the biggest myths is that, oh, you know, investing in the stock market or trading is a gamble, but there's actually ways that we can calculate it so that it's not a gamble, or at least it's a really high probability trade. So we can calculate our reward to risk on the front end. We can actually dictate our risk by putting in certain stop loss orders and order types. So there's ways to protect your risk as well, but that's something that people have to learn.
Yeah. Do you have buy and hold investments as well, or is it all kind of in short-term trading positions?
Mine are all short term, but I do trade. Like, I have a watch list of about 30 companies that I've been trading for the past 10 years. So for me, I would say, like, yes, those are my 30 companies that I'll keep for the long run, but I just trade in and out of them to make money on a regular basis.
Okay, that's interesting. That's actually a screen cap on my site on this article on passive income, and it's the stock ticker for Target. And it's like stock goes up, stock goes down, stock goes up, stock goes down, stock goes up, stock goes down. And throughout that time, what I'm highlighting there is like the shareholders are getting paid dividend, dividend, dividend every quarter. And Target is one of these dividend aristocrat companies that has increased their dividend every quarter. And so that was the point that I'm trying to make. But you're saying, look, yeah, you can buy it and hold it forever and collect those dividends. And hopefully it appreciates over time too. But you're saying, hey, you can make money off of those swings in share price.
You can. Because, like, just think about it. So in December of 2018, if any of us remember or were trading back then, you remember the market came down 20%. So some of the stocks around that time, like, let's just say we took Visa, and still a very good company. You know, over time, people are going to use their Visa credit card. But Visa at the time, and I don't want to say it wrong, I probably have to look, but let's just assume that at that time, Visa had come down to $100. Well, since then, last year, it grew all the way to $180. But then just recently with coronavirus and the market's coming down again, it's come down to 150. Yes, if you had just bought and held it, you would be up still. You'd be up from 100 to 150. But let's just assume that you had rode it to 180, sold, and now that it's come back again, you could actually use that profit to buy even more shares down here at this lower point and then ride it up again. You're getting these great opportunities to own these companies and make some income while they have movement.
Well, I think you'll hear some of my skepticism come out in this call because it's like, well, how do you know what the top is? I'm sure we'll dive into all of that. Okay, so somebody is getting started in this. I love this concrete goal. If I can make $300 a day times, call it 20 trading days per month, $6,000 a month, I can replace my income. Fantastic. Concrete goal to have in mind. Love that stuff. What would be the first step to get somebody a toe dip in the water so that they can do this safely?
Yes. Okay, so there's honestly four things that they really need in order to be successful as a day trader. The first one is they have to learn how to pick the right companies. And what do I mean by the right companies? So I have some people that don't have a lot of money, and so they think, well, if I don't have a lot of money, I need to pick companies that are less expensive, like penny stocks or something really low. But I actually would flip that on its head. No, you've got to actually pick really healthy companies that you know will be around for the long run. So this is where me and a fundamental trader may look at the same companies. So while you all are doing research and you're trying to figure out what's the future expectations of this company, I'm looking at the same thing. I'm looking at how healthy is this company? How much does their stock move in a day? But I'm looking at a chart to figure this out. So I'm looking at what's their trend. Has their trend been up over time? How much do they move in a day? You don't want something that doesn't move very much because we're traders, right? We got to make income. It needs to move at least a dollar a day. There are studies you can even put on your charts to tell you different things, like in terms of how much it moves in a day. There's one called ATR, average true range. So if you add that to your chart, it'll tell you how much does this company move on an average basis, on a daily basis. So for example, if I looked at Amazon, the ATR would tell me that it moves about $100 a day. And it's like averaging over the last 2 weeks and telling me how much it moves. And then you can put in your head, okay, well, if Amazon moves $100 a day, I honestly only need 3 shares of that to meet my $300 a day goal. Right? The first thing is you got to learn how to pick good companies. You know, I have a trade and travel whole course that talks about this, but that's the first step, picking the right companies.
There were a lot of companies that looked healthy up until everything kind of went on pause this spring. So I'm curious, like, some are obviously have proven more susceptible to others, but I'm curious if there's any sort of hedging or what happens when a black swan event hits.
Well, there's a difference between news and a healthy company. So a news event, like, let's just say during coronavirus time. So during the coronavirus time, there are some companies that are actually impacted, like their businesses are actually impacted by the coronavirus. So a lot of the travel industry, things are shutting down. They don't have as many people flying. Like, there's actual cancellations to certain countries. So like those companies are really breaking down in terms of like their profitability. Their whole business structure will have to change. But then there's other companies that are getting impacted by the market falling down, but they have nothing to do with coronavirus, like Adobe, Salesforce. They're still internet companies. Like, they're actually going to be okay, but their stock prices are coming down. That would be an example of a company that, hey, this is a healthy company, but the stock price is coming down right now. I still want to be involved in that. And then there's some companies, like another one is like Roku. Roku, everybody right now is at home looking at TV. And so it's like this company is coming down in price with the rest of the market, but they're actually a good company. They have cash in the bank. So what I'm looking for when I'm thinking of healthy companies is, before the news event, how was their cash flow? When you're looking at their earnings reports, did they beat expectations? What did they predict for the future revenue? Like, those are the type of things we're looking at. What has their trajectory been over time? Like, when you look over the last year, is the stock price continually going up? And that's another place where, is that, how much is it moving? Is it moving a dollar a day? A lot of times the ones that are moving a dollar a day, the reason why stock prices move is because the banks, big banks like Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, they are the market makers. They're putting money behind the stock. And when you have a lot of buyers, that's when the stock price moves. The only thing that can move a stock price big is not you and me, because we're too small. It has to be like a big bank with a big amount of orders, like a million share order at this stock price. If it's moving a certain amount, that means that the banks are interested, and those are the ones that you're going to invest in.
Okay, so that may be step one, is kind of creating this watch list of 20 to 30 healthy companies. Are you indiscriminate of industry, or is it just like you're picking stuff that you know about, like, you know, passionate about travel, you're picking stuff in the travel industry, or is just you're going really broad?
For me, it's about those certain criteria. So when I'm teaching my students, like, we're looking at their charts. If their chart meets our criteria, then we can put it on the watch list. And that can be in any industry. And I do think, though, people have to differentiate between trend trading and actual, like, professional investing. The difference would be a trend trader is someone who looks for, oh, well, I really like Nike shoes, so I'm going to invest in Nike stock. That's a trend trader. That's someone that finds a company that they like, and then they invest in that company. A professional active trader, we know that sometimes companies you really like are not good companies to invest in. So, for example, I love Tesla cars, but for a long time, the company just was not profitable. It was burning through cash. It wasn't a healthy company, so it wasn't a good one to invest in. And although, like, it's a momentum stock and it was going up, you can see it also has come right back down, because at the time, it wasn't a healthy company. Another idea might be like Ford. Ford, love the car. I had a Ford car forever, but the stock doesn't move. So that's not a good company to invest in. There's a difference between just investing in companies you like and investing in companies that will make you money.
Yeah, I worked at Ford for my first 3 years out of college, and I have a few Ford shares, and they've gone backwards. So there is a little bit of that. But up or down, this is where traders can still make profit, rather than, you know, in the case of my wife and I, this recent market correction was like probably a few $100,000 in paper losses. And granted, we don't plan on selling anytime, so you imagine we'll write it back up over the next years or decades. But I'm curious, like, what were your positions going into the coronavirus crash, and what was kind of your hedge against all that?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest benefits that I have as a trader is that I can move my money quickly. So the month before the coronavirus scare, I had made $200,000 trading stocks. And so because I had made the money, I like had moved some money out of cash anyway. So that's one benefit. Like, it's very easy for me to move money around.
Just like taking it off the table.
Yeah, you just move it to cash. Because I sell, like, I had invested in Activision and Amazon, and I had shorted Tesla. That means making money when the market goes down. I had shorted Tesla and had made like $83,000 in a day, $63,000 in a day. So had these great wins. And so as a trader, sometimes it's nice after you make a win to just let it go. And you know, for me, all I needed was $300 in a day to win. To live. So to have like $83,000 in a day, you're like, you know what? I'm good.
I'm good for the rest of the year. Shoot.
Yeah, let me just rest.
Now, tell me about the risk to make that kind of gain, because people are going to hear that and they're going to say, well, that's fantastic, but let's talk about maybe the expected probabilities of that and what you stood to lose if what you thought was going to happen didn't happen.
Okay, so there's like so many questions going at the same time. Let's take one of those trades. So in Tesla, Tesla had run up to $1,000 and I knew that it was going to come back down because I read charts. So on charts, we're able to see like where the banks are buying and where the banks are selling. So we were able to see like, okay, the last time that we were at this price, the bank started selling. So I'm assuming that there's still going to be some open sell orders from the banks at this point. And why is that? Because when the banks are actually making their sales, they're selling like millions of shares. So if the price moves out of that level really fast, there's a high probability that there's still some open orders sitting at that level. Likewise, when you get to a certain point, all these things you can tell with candlestick formations. But when you come down to a certain point on a stock
chart. Sorry, say that again.
Oh, okay. They're called formations. And I look at candlestick charts and we're looking for formations in the candlestick. Sticks. And so when we find that formation, we know this is where the banks were buying and this is where the banks are selling. And then in my strategy, we put in buyer levels and seller levels at these points on the chart. And then we're just waiting. We're waiting for price to come to those points. When the price gets to that point, that buyer's level, we know this is a place where there's still some open bank orders. So kind of similar to what I said before with sellers, because of this formation, I know that the last time we were in this area, the banks had a big order here. Why? Because the stock moved out of this level extremely fast. And we can tell that in the candlestick formation. And there's a couple other things, of course, to look at this. But for this level, we're assuming that because the banks had a big order here, probably a million shares, even 200,000 shares of a certain stock at a certain price will make the stocks move a certain amount. But the thought is they probably didn't all get filled the last time price came to this level. So if we wait for price to come to this level again, there will be more buy orders filled and the price will go back up. So it's when you think about like an economic supply and demand, when you come down to a certain level, there's a big demand and that demand is going to push the price back up. And when you go up to a certain level and the prices are high, there's going to be a big supply and that's going to push the prices down. So we're using that theory on charts. And we even saw that recently with the coronavirus scare. The prices came down to about the same place where prices had started coming back up in December 24th of 2018. And there's like a formation there that showed that there was a ton of buy orders there. That's why the price turned around the way it did in 2018. So when we came back there, that was one of the biggest like turnaround days for the market. The Dow came down, hit the level from 2018 and then turned back around and went up like 2,000 points. Why? Because there was a lot of bank buy orders still sitting in the computer there. That's what we're looking at when we're looking at charts.
Even from 14 months ago, 15 months ago.
Yep, even from 15 months ago.
Those don't like expire out after a certain period of time?
Not according to the way that I trade. Nope, they don't. And the thought is though, if you're a big bank, you can let orders sit in the computer. Now the way that we trade, like there's something called a good till canceled order. You can put it in to the computer and just let that sit in there.
Is this something that I can do inside of my Fidelity account or my M1 account or my whatever? Do you need specific software to do this stuff?
No, I use a broker called TradeStation just because they're like built for professional traders. And that's what my students use. It's also nice because they have a simulated account. So while they're learning, the students can trade in the simulated brokerage account and get good before they start using their real money. But no, you can do this in Fidelity. You can do it in several other online brokerage accounts too. The only thing I would say is some brokers are better than others. So like I'll say like Robinhood. For a little while, Robinhood didn't have all the same order types available that some of the more robust brokers had. Like a TradeStation or Fidelity or E-Trade.
So order type meaning like if it hits this price or like kind of stop loss type of stuff?
Yep. So like one type of order type is a stop loss. And it says, if the price comes down to this level, take me out of the trade. And that stop loss order will take you out. And you can let that sit in there as well. Good till cancel, GTC. You can let that sit in the computer as well. So as you go on to work, as you go off throughout your day, you know that you're protected because you have that order in there. So that's like an order type. But there's also some other really cool order types like In TradeStation, we're able to do a bracket order, which lets us put in a stop and put in a target at the same time. So that means you have two exits. So say I'm in a trade, I'm in Apple, and it's $200. I'm just making up a number. I can put in a stop that says, if it comes down to 150, get me out of the trade. And then I can also put in a target that says, if it goes up to $300, get me out of the trade. And what that does is it protects you from losing and then also allows you to have your target and make your income when it gets to a certain level. And we would set those based on those buyer and seller levels that I told you about when I read the chart. I know this is a lot.
No, this is helpful because you have a science to this rather than like when you say reading charts, it sounds like reading tea leaves to me. But it helps that there is an actual science behind this and the methodology that has clearly worked very well for you. But it's like, I can't help but thinking, okay, but over the course of 10 years, like, okay, maybe it's bound to come back down. But it's also like over the course of 10 years, like, how do you know that's the top? Or, you know, if a baseball player has gotten hits in his last three at-bats, but his career average is 300, it's like, you could say, yeah, he's hot. He's due to get a hit next time. Or it's like, or he's due to fail for a little while because, you know, historically, this is his long-term average. I'm curious how that all can play in and make sense.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why we use something like one other formula that I teach my students is called the reward to risk ratio. And some people flip it and say risk to reward ratio, but I like to do reward to risk because what it is as we're reading those charts, every time we take a trade, we calculate what is our reward to risk. And anytime that we trade, our rule is that it has to be at least a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio. That means our probability of our reward is 3 times higher than our risk. And our risk is dictated because we put in that stop. So no matter what, we know as soon as it hits this stop, we get out. And we set that too based on our risk tolerance. If you don't want to lose more than $100 per trade, then you know that your stop is going to put you in and we do our quantity size that will allow you to only lose $100 on this trade. But that means with your reward to risk ratio, that means that every time you take a trade, if your risk is 100, you need to, like, this trade has to get you at least $300 for you to even be able to take this trade because the reward to risk is 3-to-1.
Is that something that TradeStation is calculating for you, or is that something that you have built kind of an internal algorithm for?
That's what we're calculating on our own. Yep. So TradeStation doesn't, but once we go in, we figure out our buyer and seller levels. We know where we're getting into the trade, where our entry price will be. Then we do our calculation. Okay, well, what is our potential reward on this trade? And what is our potential risk? And if it's less than 3-to-1, my traders know they're not taking a trade. If it's 3-to-1 or higher, then they can take the trade because there's a high probability of their success. But then this is where that takes out that guesswork you were talking about. Because if you have a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio on every trade, you could win one. You made 3, right? I'm going to go with the numbers. But you could win one and then technically lose the next 3 and still break even.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could win just 25% of the time and you're still breaking even. Now, as long as you start getting above 25% of your trades, you're making money. So the way to really protect yourself is to make sure that you're always calculating your reward to risk in advance and that you're taking only trades that have a high probability of reward. So like a high reward to risk ratio.
Okay. I like that. That makes sense. Yeah. You don't expect to win every single time, but over time, if you do it right, you have protected your downside and over time it can start to add up. The same thing we've done episodes on counting cards and options trading and flipping just about everything else under the sun. So that makes sense to me.
Yes.
What was your kind of like initial seed account or what do you see your students starting with? Because it's like, okay, if you're going to buy Amazon or Tesla, it's like these are like multi-$100, $1,000 share stocks.
So there's a couple answers to that. One, I encourage my students that their first goal should be to make 1% of their cash amount. And that's, for me, it's every day because I'm a daily trader. And that doesn't mean that I always make day trades. A day trade is when you get into a trade in one day and out of a trade in the same day. So that's a day trader. I don't necessarily make a trade every day, but I'm trading every day. Does that make sense?
So you're a short-term trader, but not necessarily getting out by the closing bell.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Nick.
So what happens if you hold something overnight, some news comes out like coronavirus, hey, we're going to shut down all the schools, we're going to quarantine this place, and then immediately upon opening, a 1500 point nosedive? Like, can you even get out fast enough? Oh, like, how does that work?
Yeah. So your stop, it won't activate overnight, but your stop is helpful for that. That's where if the price goes against you, then your stop is going to help you get out of the trade. So yes, you might lose, but you only lose up to your risk tolerance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we have that stop. And the thing too is looking at our charts and looking at our levels, like our buyer's level and our seller's level, those things are usually a bit farther away from your current price.
Is that something that I should be doing as a long-term investor? Like if I owned Chevron, another example of a company that I owned, should I have put a stop loss thing? Like if it drops below $100, get me out of here.
Yes. I think these skills are good even for long-term investors. What you do if you're a long-term investor, or what I would coach a long-term investor to do, is I would tell them to learn the same formations that I'm teaching everybody, but they're just going to look at bigger time frames. So they would look at candlesticks with maybe a monthly time frame. And then that way they could know, like, okay, where is price expected to go? And if it does get to those all-time highs, they could actually maybe take some profit off the table so that they can save it. And then they also know where price was going if it were to fall down, and they can put a stop in that would protect their accounts. So yes.
And that's like a standing thing I could have just open in the account, or like renew it every 30, 90 days, something like that?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Shoot. I should have talked to you 2 months ago.
That's okay. Everything is new. You learn a skill and now you can implement it for the next time.
Yes, absolutely.
And I do sympathize. I know a lot of people right now are, their accounts have come down, or they're looking at their 401k and they're like, what am I going to do? I wanted to retire. I do believe that this is temporary. I do believe that the market will come up over time. But I also think that it's really nice to know these skill sets of an active trader so that you can protect yourself. One of the things that my friend told me recently is, she's like, Terry, what I love about your students is that they're not helpless. They have some skills. They have some education to protect themselves, versus some of us feel just helpless. And I think that's the key with getting any of this type of education.
Yeah, I think that is 100% true. Your competence becomes your security in a lot of ways, and figuring out how to make some money, no matter what channel that it is you choose. So you said, okay, first goal, to make 1% of your cash account. So if you deposit $10,000, what is that? $100 is your goal income level.
Well, and yes, and we're trying to do that on a daily basis. So your goal is to make 1% of your cash amount a day. So that'd be $100 a day, $500 a week. Now, if you're not trading as often, that's still cool, but at least you know that you have the ability to make 1% of your cash amount a day when you trade.
$100 a day sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it's very, very doable, very doable.
So you're buying single shares or like fractional shares?
I want you to buy full shares. I don't do fractional shares. Nope.
Okay, so may only be, some of these more expensive companies may only be one share at a time when you're first starting out.
Yes, but then think about it. Remember we said that the average true range, so the average daily move of Amazon, is $100. So you only need one share to meet your goal. I think that's something people don't understand. Like, they think they need like these big quantities, but when your goals are small and attainable, like, you really can do it with just a few shares at a time. Yeah. Like, and then I have some students, like I have one student right now, she's getting really, really good at trading Google. She just watches that one stock and is able to make her goal on a regular basis because she knows how it moves. When it hits her target, she sells. When it comes down to her buyer's level, she buys more. And she makes her $1,000 a day every day with just one stock.
That's awesome. I mean, that's really inspiring to hear.
It's cool. I love it. It's really fun.
Now, is there a reason, because in the age of big data and Wall Street quants and everything, like, how are other companies, like, it seems like there ought to be software, or like, I'm going to joke about MIT grads, but I imagine you know a little bit about those too. But like, I don't know, how can an individual compete against all the machine learning and all of the minds of Wall Street here?
Yeah, so you're right. Like, I'm an MIT grad, and for the longest time, I thought I was going to come up with my own algorithm. Like, I took 6 years. So I've been trading for 10 years now. The first 6 years, I thought I was going to create my own algorithm, and I was just losing. So it's just like, what is going on? Until I finally took some classes, figured out a system, put it with what I had already been doing myself, and it was like, oh, this is what's going on. And the key is to go with the big banks and to just buy with them and to sell with them instead of going against them. I think that is where that's what makes my strategy work. So here's the thing. Normal philosophy says, like, when something's low, your emotions are going to be high. Everything comes down really low. You're going to want to sell. And it's going to feel like you're going to see red in your account and everything. All the news is saying things that are bad. Everything is going to feel like it's on fire. When things come low, our natural tendency is to say, I want to sell. But actually, when the prices of stocks come low, that's when big banks are buying. So you've got to learn how to change your mentality to actually go with them. So when the prices are low, that's when we're actually buying. And we can see that on a chart. Same thing as when the prices come up, natural, like, popular opinion is going to be, oh my God, this is such a great stock. This is the time to get in, get it. Everybody loves it because the price is going up. All the news will be great. That's when a lot of novice investors get in, but they're getting in at the highs. What they have to learn, though, is when the stocks are at those highs, that's when the banks are starting to sell. So you got to learn to go with the banks. The banks are starting to sell when the prices get high. So that's when we're selling as professional traders. When you're going with the banks, then it's okay. You're not fighting against all the algorithms. You're going with them.
Yeah, I'm picturing like a herd of elephants kind of clearing your path. Like, you don't want to try and swim upstream against those guys, to mix metaphors. But like, yeah, just be the meerkat or the gazelle or whatever that follows behind them or drafts off them in a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
How long did it take you to get you to your $300 a day trading goal?
It took about a year. I wish I could say it took less than that, but it took about a year of practice. Learning, and even with my trade and travel class, I tell people learning doesn't take long. Like, you can learn my system in 8 weeks or less. But what takes time is just practicing. A lot of trading is just the art of getting to know the stocks that you're trading. You got to learn how they move. You have to learn them in different situations. Okay, what happens when the market's doing well? What happens when there's an election? What happens when there's some bad news? Being able to, like, see them over time and trade them, that takes practice. So I would say it takes about a year to really get consistent hitting your goals.
Okay, so you can look at a chart and it speaks to you, where I can look at a chart and see, I just see lines moving up and down.
It sure does. And my students are always like, oh my God, Terry, like, it did exactly what you said it was going to do. That just takes practice. Like now I can immediately see, okay, get in here, get in there, or get out there. This is where it's going to stop. Just all by reading charts.
Were you still doing the assistant principal gig and just getting up early as the markets open to do this stuff? Curious about your time investment early on before you reach that goal level.
I was. So I would make a 30-minute meeting with myself at about 8 o'clock because I'm in Dallas area, so the market opens at 8:30. So at 8 o'clock, I would make a meeting with myself in my office at the school, and that was like my time to look at the market, like look at the market before it opened and make sure I had my trades lined up. And then at lunchtime, I would make another meeting and I'd check my trades because we could trade from our cell phone. So I would check my cell phone. And I remember this one time my principal walked in and he heard like my computer. I had my trades up on my computer and all of a sudden it said, you're out the trade. And the principal like looked and I was like, oh my God, I'm about to get fired. But I don't think he knew what, he just like looked and then he like walked out the room.
Like, I'm in here making deals.
Right. And then at the end of the day, what was cool about education was my day, the students left around 2:30, 3, and the market closes at 3 here. So I would like look at it right before I went and helped with the carpool line. And that way I would say, okay, is there anything that I want to switch around for the next day? And then at home, I would spend about an hour just reviewing all the charts from my watch list, my 30 companies, review those charts to see kind of how they did and be ready for the next day.
Okay, so you're kind of in this hour a day investment of your own time, putting some of your money at risk, but that seems doable in terms of at least a side hustle commitment.
Yes, and it was one of those things too where there was one day I was sitting in my office and I made $3,000 on a trade. And that was like my principal salary for the month or assistant principal salary. So I was just like, that was the day where I was like, you know what? I think I need to do something different with my life. Cause all the work and stress that I would put in for the school over a month, like I had just done that in a day. So yeah, it's definitely a great side hustle. I've used it to pay off debt. I've used it to now I have a rental property. I'm paying off the mortgage with it. So it's a great side hustle.
Okay, so you're diversifying a little bit into some real property here. I was going to ask, if you ever get the pushback of, and I don't mean any offense by this, but like, how does this help people?
Yeah. I think first people have to think about, and this also is going to sound weird, but I think first they have to think about themselves. How will making $1,000 in a day change your personal life? Will it allow you to have more quality time with your family? Will it allow you to pay down some of your student loans? Could it first change your life? And so like, that's the first part. And then once you've changed your life, then it's like, well, what could I do after that? And like, that's the impact that we're trying to start now with the $1 million a day movement. Okay, if 1,000 of us are making $1,000 in a day, that's $1 million a day. Like, we can actually solve big systemic problems in the world. Like, we can solve healthcare. We can provide for education. We can start putting money into mental health. Like, now we're making a big movement. And so like, even me this year, I was able to give like a six-figure check to my church because of my gains from trading. And yeah, and that's going towards like a lot of work that they're actually doing to serve the community. So it might not look like you're doing much as you're working in your day-to-day job, because for me, trading is my job. It may not look like I'm doing much on my day-to-day, but with the income, I can inspire the world.
All right, that was a better answer than I was expecting. That was really good. Thank you. I don't know what I was expecting, but that was very good. What do you say about the data that, like, even for these actively managed mutual funds, 2/3 of these fund managers don't beat the index? So how am I as a layman going to come in and somehow perform miracles?
Yeah, great question. So one thing I will say is investing is very emotional, and you have to have a really good trading plan to take the emotion out. The way that you will start to beat the averages is by having a really strict trading plan that tells you, okay, these are the 7 steps that I take every single time. And when you take those 7 steps, that's what I teach my students. I have 7 steps that I literally take every time. And part of that is risk management. So it includes that reward to risk I was telling you about, and putting in your stops and calculating your quantity size. So like, there's 7 steps that I do every time. I think when you have a trade plan like that, that's when you start to get consistency. And it also takes the emotion out of your trade. When you don't have a trading plan and you're just kind of willy-nilly guessing at things, I think that's when traders start to lose. So that's one part. You have to have a trading plan.
Well, you could argue that these Wall Street hedge fund, active fund managers, like, they're not going willy-nilly. Theoretically, they should have a system in place too, right?
That's right. And so what I'm talking about is more so for the average investor, like home investor. Because I think like a lot of home investors, they start losing and then they give up, and then they're wondering, well, then they kind of start saying, well, yeah, you know, you can't beat the market, and they start having this, and it's like, wait, but did you have a trading plan in place? Did you have something to protect you? And then you start asking questions, and it's like, well, no, they didn't have any of those things. So I want to first like debunk that myth. And then in terms of traders and just in general, like the big hedge funds beating the market versus not. So you're right. Like, a lot of traders fail, even the big hedge funds fail. But I think one of the big differences is having that small goal versus big goal. So when you have millions of dollars that you're investing in a portfolio, it takes a lot to move that 10%. So if I have like a $1 billion hedge fund account, and then I have to make a return of 10%, well, that's a couple $100 million, or I'm saying numbers off the top of my head. I do use a calculator. But it just, when you start trading with bigger numbers, it's very hard to move them, even small percentages. So that's one thing people should have in mind, keep in mind. And then another thing is, when we are trading and just meeting small goals, it's a lot easier for us to hit our goal. So for me to say, okay, with this $30,000 account, I just need $300 a day, that's pretty doable. It's doable to hit $300 a day with $30,000. When I start saying, well, I need to make 20% return on my portfolio in order to beat the market, now that becomes a harder goal. Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to draw a parallel to Ryan Finley, who was guest, I want to say episode 72 on the show. He was making his whole living buying and selling stuff on Craigslist. And he started out really similarly. Can I make $50 a day? If I can make $50 a day, that's going to be life-changing. I'm confident I could get to 100, right? I'm going to stair-step it up from there. Concrete goal, this 1% rule, can I make 1% of my cash account every day rather than can I make 20% a year, you know, whatever that kind of more long-term thinking is. So I do like that stuff. What's a typical timeline for you? So if you buy something in the morning, you're not necessarily exiting by the end of the day, or is it just all automated? Once it hits the certain thing, your order types, they know to sell or get rid of it at a certain point.
Great question. And I do want to just make one clarification. So if you are doing 1% of your cash amount a day, it does equal 20% return a month. And in 5 months, you can double your account. So it does actually start snowballing.
Yeah, yeah. It snowballs fast.
But I just wanted to clarify that because somebody probably is like, but you are making 20%. And it's like, that's true. I am. So I used to do cohorts and teach students like every 3 months. We'd have a new group of students come. Now they can come anytime. But I remember like I doubled my account in that cohort. Like literally I made 100% return. And so, yes, we can do that. But I just don't want you to have those kind of those goals and expectations, because if you're trying to do that over the year time frame is a little different. Like you could have a major event happen mid-year and take all your gains away. But if you're just trying to make a certain small amount a day, you can reach that goal pretty easy. So I wanted to just clarify. And then your question was, so how long do I keep a trade? So it really depends how long it takes to get from that buyer's level to the seller's level. And every stock will look a little different. So like if it took maybe 2 weeks for the price to come down to get into a seller, into a buyer's level, then it may take another 2 weeks for it to go up and hit the seller's level again. So it may take 2 weeks before it gets to my target where I want to exit. But if it's like, say this level, this buyer's level is really good. We have something that we can use to calculate how strong a level is. And so like, say this level is really strong, then it might jump up in just a day and hit my target and I'm out and I've made my goal. I get to go enjoy the rest of my day. So it really depends by stock and how strong the level is.
In a bear market, are you still taking kind of these buy positions? Hey, it's going to go up because it has come down so far, or it's like, I don't think we're quite at the bottom yet. I'm going to continue to short some different shares.
I'm doing a little bit of both. So I am shorting the whole S&P 500. So I've made some pretty good money shorting the whole S&P. And I'm actually doing that by selling options. So I'm a stock and options trader. So the way that I'm trading right now is when you sell an option, what you're saying is I will buy the stock at this price. Well, depending on, well, I don't want to go that deep into detail. But I'm selling the S&P 500. And as long as price stays below the S&P, then I get to keep the money by expiration. So that's one of the ways that I'm playing the market now, is shorting the whole S&P.
Okay. We did a episode on options trading where the guest, Kirk Duplessis, compared it to being a seller of insurance. Like, if you don't get in a car wreck, you get to keep the premium. You know, the car insurance company still keeps the premium. Like, if this trigger event doesn't happen, you as the seller, you can keep that premium.
Yes, I love it. And I even think about it like a football goal. Like, you know, when you're trying to like kick the football, I don't know why my words are slurring, but what's that part when it looks like a fork?
Yeah, try to make a field goal.
Yes. So
come on, you're in Texas.
I know. My friends are going to kill me. They're like, you couldn't remember what a field goal was. But you know how in a field goal, as long as it's anywhere inside the field goal, you're good. If it's outside the field goal, you're not. So that's kind of what you're doing. You're like, okay, as long as it's anywhere in this price, I'm good. And so that's kind of how I've been shorting now with the market coming down, or lately with the market coming down. And then another thing that I've been doing is I have actually been still making some buy orders. So several of the stocks have come down into buyer's levels from, like I was saying, from 2018, they've been coming down. And so I may make a trade there. I've also been investing in a couple companies that have just been doing really well lately. So like Zoom and Teladoc. Recently, I made like $32,000 when the president said that they're now going to move to telehealth, because I was invested in 5,000 shares of Teladoc and it just zoomed up. And I was like, okay, well, let me go ahead and take that gain right now, because it'll probably actually had come up to a seller's level. So I got out, and sure enough, the next day it went right back down. But yes, so I've been doing a little bit of buying on ones that are like fit for such a time as this. And then I've been sitting on the sideline with quite a bit of cash for the rest of the market, because I do feel like we could go down lower.
Well, thanks for clarifying on that. Terry, this is fascinating stuff. Again, should have talked to you a couple months ago. Could have probably saved some money there. But in any case, itradeandtravel.com. You can check her out over there. What's next for you? What's going on with the investment course? What's going on in your life? I guess travel is probably halted for a minute, but what else is going on?
Yes. So personal life, I had originally said this year that I would work 1 month and then travel a month and I'd like alternate all year. But of course, those plans have changed. I was in South Africa and then I came back and the next goal was to go to Bali. But all of the flights have a stopover in China. So that's a no. But I'm really, really excited about our $1 million a day campaign, our movement, really. If we can help 1,000 students make $1,000 in a day, then what impact can we have? And we've been looking at all these different initiatives and programs to give money to. And it's just been really, really exciting. And then I've been seeing my students and they've been making the $1,000 a day club. And like, they are killing it. Like, not only are they making $1,000 a day, but one, even in this, the market in like the worst market since 1987, the students are still winning. Like, they've been sending me messages like, oh, I've tripled my account. I made $3,000. One of them made like $20,000 in a day. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. One of them sent me a message. She used to be a RN and she had quit her job to start trading full time using my strategy. And she actually made her whole RN salary in one day that she would have made in a month as an RN. And I was just like, wow. So that's motivating me right now. Just really giving all I can to my students to see like their lives change. And they've been able to spend more time with their families. They've been able to travel. Like one of them, she traveled to 13 countries last year and she was doing that using my trading system. So I just want to see what they do and like how great their lives will be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Changing lives for the better. And we probably need to do a follow-up on the creation and launch of your course. As I understand, you're the winner or one of the winners of the Teachable Creator Challenge, which I also participated in last summer. You had way more success than I did with probably a much smaller audience, at least at the start of it. So maybe we should dive into that another time. But again, really appreciate you joining me. SideHustleNation.com/Terry is where you find all the show notes and links for this episode. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation. This does not have to be trading related, just whatever entrepreneurial wisdom that you'd like to impart.
Keep trying and just be persistent. It's always, as an entrepreneur, it's always hard to just get started. And you'll always run into just different things that are difficult. But just keep pushing because somebody on the other side of your company needs your help. They need what you have for them. So just keep going. Don't give up.
So true. So true. Keep trying. Be persistent at it. And that's when the magic happens. Terry, thanks so much. And we'll catch up with you soon. I think this episode illustrates the empowerment that comes with learning a new skill. And that learning is something we can all practice, no matter where we're starting from. To that end, I want to invite you to join the millions of side hustlers, professionals, and entrepreneurs who are building, fueling, and expanding their own creative fire with our sponsor, Skillshare. With thousands of classes in marketing, productivity, entrepreneurship, and tons more, it's the online learning community for creators like us. Pretty much whatever you need to learn next, they've got it. And it's all online, on demand, so you can learn at your own pace and on your own terms. These are high-quality courses taught by practicing experts, including Guy Kawasaki, Simon Sinek, Rand Fishkin on SEO, Gary Vaynerchuk, and more. I want to invite you to try Skillshare free for 2 months, kind of like an extended test drive to see if it's right for you. Side Hustle Show listeners can claim that offer over at Skillshare.com/Side Hustle Show. That's Skillshare.com/Side Hustle Show for 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Let's skip the Netflix tonight and go do some learning. All right, my top three takeaways from this call with Terry. Number one is to educate yourself. This isn't a side hustle, especially since we're talking about throwing potentially thousands of dollars around, that I would feel comfortable with you diving in without a deeper education and having some concrete strategies in place. That's the difference between trading and gambling, right? And you'll never be able to remove all the risks, just like you'll never be able to remove all the risks in any business. But at least you'll have the foundational understanding to know when, why, and how to make the high probability moves that Terry's talking about. And of course, she has her own training program where she teaches this stuff, but there are lots of other resources too, if it's something that interests you and you're committed to learning. I'll do a little bit more on that in a second. But that's takeaway number one, educate yourself. Takeaway number two is to practice first. Terry mentioned that TradeStation was her trading platform of choice, and she mentioned that they have a practice mode where you can test out your moves with play money first, and I think that is an absolute must before you put down any of your own hard-earned dollars at risk. Use that practice account to prove to yourself that whatever system or strategy you're using is profitable, and not just a week. I would like to see, you know, a month or more months. Do it for a while, right? Keep track of the time you're spending on it. Keep track of your wins, your losses. Keep track of how your account hopefully grows over time. And treat it as if it were real money, right? Because if you're making wild bets because it's fake, then that doesn't really count. Once you have a track record you're comfortable with, I think then and only then does it make sense to start playing for keeps. That's takeaway number two from this call. Practice, 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 practice first. Takeaway number three is to have a concrete goal in mind. For Terry, it was that $300 a day target. And that wasn't a number pulled out from thin air. That was to replace her day job salary. But having a concrete goal gives you something tangible to shoot for. And if you're honest about your needs, it might be a smaller number than you're thinking of. For example, for me, for a lot of years, my goal was to make 10 grand a month. That was a meaningful measure of success. But at the same time, I didn't need 10 grand a month to pay for my lifestyle. I think it can be inspiring to hear Terry's stories of her own trades and her students making like thousands of dollars a day. And I imagine it feels a bit like alchemy, kind of creating money out of nothing. But that's not where it starts. It starts with a cash account. And like Terry said, trying to trade your way to grow it by 1% a day. So education first, practice second, and then having that concrete goal that you can work toward on the day-to-day process habits and turn that into reality. And then, of course, the patience to stick with it. Takeaway 3.5, the patience. Terry mentioned it still took about a year to hit that $300 a day goal. Stock trading is admittedly borderline get-rich-quick territory, which is probably why it's taken me 7 years to publish an episode on it, even though it's something that I've been interested in since day one. But it's a side hustle like any other, right? Learn the skills, protect your downside, and do the work. So that's takeaway number three for me, is to have that concrete goal in mind before you get at it. Now, Terry's actually given me an affiliate link for her full trading course, which I'll be upfront is not an inexpensive program. But if you do your homework and you decide, yes, I want to give this a shot, you can join at no extra cost to you and support the show at the same time at sidehustlenation.com/investwithterry. Of course, I'll link that up along with all the other resources from this episode at sidehustlenation.com/Terry, T-E-R-I. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show, where you'll learn about another popular work from home side hustle. I'll see you then. Hustle on.